Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. I'm doing another interview today, which I'm really looking forward to. And I think it's also worth pointing out that this is the power of online networking, because I'm talking to somebody that I didn't know a couple of weeks ago, but it was only because we both knew someone or know someone, and she introduced us because I was asking about people to come on the podcast. And yeah, that's really good. I'm really glad that having connections with people means that we can also meet the people that they know, and for you it means that we get new podcast guests as well, so that's a good thing. So hi Serena, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Kirsty. I'm delighted to be here today.
Yeah, it's great that you're here. Maybe you could start by telling us something about you and what you do,
so yeah, that
sure, get to know you.
I'm a social media strategist and the founder of Social Click, a small digital marketing agency. I'm Romanian. I moved to Dublin in 2007. And despite the rainy weather and despite the fact that my English was pretty basic when I moved there, it felt like home. Ireland felt like home. I like Ireland. I don't know. I just fell in love with it from the first day. About me, in general, I'm pretty boring to say, so I don't do anything exciting. I'm reading, I'm walking, I love food. I love people. I love people and I love helping people. My background is in pharmacy and wellness. So maybe that's explain, you know, my passion to being around people. I consider myself extremely lucky and I try my best to be grateful every day, to find reasons to be grateful every day. I think that my positivity and being authentic helped me to achieve many of my goals in life.
Yeah, I think that's so important to be you, to be authentic, not to try and be someone else. Like in everyone's sharing more and more information or trying to, you know, like on social media, trying to get attention. But if you do that in a way that isn't authentic, people see that and then it doesn't really work for you, does it? It's people want to do business or just to meet with real people.
Definitely. And I know when I start going a bit on social media, I've been even suggested to, you know, cover my voice, to change my voice. And I was like, well, no. I would never do this. It wouldn't be me. Like I won't do it. People are doing it. But I think for me, being authentic and not being afraid to ask questions when I struggle or when I didn't understand, especially because living abroad, I still don't get all the jokes. I'm bored. Probably half of the jokes I don't understand, but I'm asking.
Yeah, that's fine. It's, you know, it shows that you're interested, because sometimes, you know, people are just nodding that, yeah. And you know, they haven't understood, but if you don't ask a question, you don't have that opportunity to start a discussion or to learn something. And I think that's important. You know, not understanding something is an opportunity to learn something new. It's not just, oh, I didn't understand. Why don't I understand this? Okay, maybe I can learn something that will be useful in the future. So yeah, I think sometimes we focus so much on the idea of like making mistakes or not understanding, whereas really the focus should be on learning something new and discovering something.
Definitely.
Which is more fun. So you work with, you are multilingual and you use primarily English in your business now. But what do you think are some of the advantages of being multilingual as a business owner, and how does this help you in business, the fact that you can speak more than one language?
Oh God, the fact that I used to speak a bit of French, but I have to be honest, I lost it. English is my only foreign language. And actually, because I'm living in Ireland, I shouldn't call it like this, but it's not my first language, unfortunately. Well, for me, using English is freedom and opportunities. Because, you know, a different language, not only that helps us when we are traveling, it helps us to communicate better with people from different backgrounds, different cultures. Our days also increases the job opportunity and increase the job opportunity, even if I would be in Romania working here, because it's a big requirement now to speak another language. Also, if you are moving abroad and you don't speak the language, you will not be able to work in your area of activity, even if you're very skilled and qualified. So definitely job opportunities. For my business, English is everything. I think a combination of English and social media, it's everything. Because firstly, I have access to so many trainings, courses, mentors who are all international. Like everything, it's online and it's in a different language. If I wouldn't speak English, I wouldn't be here today from many points of view. Like the books in English that I didn't have access years ago in Romania, everything. Also, meeting so many people from all the corners of the world and being able to communicate with them, it's amazing. Also, the clients, like I don't have any Romanian client. Everybody's not, it's in a different continent, actually. And it's amazing. It's the best thing. Speaking another language for me, especially speaking English, it opened me so many doors, opened so many doors for me.
Yeah, and I think that's especially when people are talking about something that's maybe developing their business, you need to be able to speak to them in the language that they want to express themselves in. It's not exactly the same, but I you know, I'm an English teacher and I speak English with the people that I'm training, but sometimes with my German clients and now my Romanian clients, sometimes they want to tell me something and they do it in the other language, because particularly with beginners, in my case, if they're not able to do that in English, and if you can connect with people in the language in which they feel that they can express themselves most easily, then you can really build a good business relationship with people. It's helpful for them, and also from your point of view in terms of working with the clients, understand, you know, what they want. But maybe some of these clients only speak English and you wouldn't be able to work with them otherwise if you weren't able to speak English as well.
Oh, definitely I wouldn't. And especially I do even, it's not my specialty, but we offer copywriting. So many times I do all the copywriting for certain clients. So I need English.
And how about moving to Ireland then? So you said that you really like the experience, you feel at home there. Did you notice any big differences, or what would you say the biggest differences between life in Romania and life in Ireland?
Well, there are many differences. I think in my case, maybe I didn't notice things so much or didn't bother me. But the main difference, I consider the main difference is the fact that Romanians, we are very more old fashioned and very formal, while Irish people are relaxed and informal and they're very welcoming. I think this is the main difference, and probably the Irish music culture, which I love. Like, I really like this aspect of Irish people. We are a good, like, as people, we are good communicators in Romania too, but Irish people are more friendly, maybe because they do have different culture and it's different, like the diversity is far more increase in the cultural diversity is far more increase in Ireland comparing with Romania. But the main thing is people are extremely friendly and very relaxed comparing with us. We have a background with a communist background.
Okay, so it sounded like it was a really positive experience from you from the start, which is great. And I imagine this friendly behavior helped you when you were coming as somebody that was new to the country. But did you have any language-related challenges when you first started working there? And if you did, how did you overcome them, or who helped you to overcome them? Or was it easy?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Like, it was exciting, but it wasn't easy. Like, all the expressions, things that, you know, I learned in school, like, it's different. I had a basic, I understand the main words, but the way that people communicate, I would not always understand. But I presume somebody could see me potential from the very beginning, because I got a job in a pharmacy without experience in a beauty counter for the first, my first job in Ireland. And 1 month there. So somebody gave me the opportunity and believed in me. And then the most difficult part was, as I said it to you, speaking on the phone, but also when a year later I started a pharmacy technician course, and it was the very first time when I had to write in English, like at an official level. That was tough. I think it will take me double or triple the amount of work comparing with everybody else in the class. And I've been lucky. I had really good people I work with, and they all became my friends. So I could go in work and just ask them, do you mind just to check this for me? Just to be, you know, grammatical and the spellings and all the basic. I don't want you to tell me if it's wrong or right. I just need to be correct to not embarrass myself in front of the class. That was the most difficult part. I would put probably so much work in something that was basic for other people.
But I think in doing that, it really makes you, your determination to keep going. I think that's a great thing. Like, you have to sometimes, that there are times that you do have to work harder than the people around you. But I think if you can learn something from that, and you can develop other skills at the same time. So it's valuable. But also, I think, you know, maybe you ask these people for help, and that was great that they did, but they would need help with other things. Like, we all need help with something. Maybe you wanted help with your text, but then there's something you could do to help them as well. So it's about, you feel a bit vulnerable sometimes when you ask for help, but I think it's taken me a long time to learn it, but everybody needs help at some point, you know, like, and if you ask for help, that's not a sign of weakness. It's just a sign of saying, hey, I need help with this. And later on, you'll need help with something else and I can help you. You know, it can be mutually helpful.
Yeah, it's true. But no, it was very nice. Without the girls, I couldn't make it, because I needed the support, and they were all there for me. The pharmacist, the manager, my colleagues, everybody supported me in the journey. Or if I'll have assessments, I could even say, oh, can I come only 4 hours in tomorrow? And they understood me and support me. So I was really lucky.
And I saw your potential, because I think that's, you know, we have our personalities, and of course if you're working in another language, you need to learn that, you need to improve, you need the skills to do that. But at the same time, people will understand how you are as a person, and if they like you, of course they're gonna try and help you, because they want you to succeed. And I think sometimes when I'm talking to clients, you know, people are focusing on language skills or maybe developing them, but you know, if you have good relationships with people, then people are going to want you to succeed. They're not looking, oh, she made a mistake today. But, you know, yeah, there are situations in which that can be critical. But most of the time, people want to see you doing well.
Yes, it should be like this in any case. But I still consider that, you know, not everybody's the same. And I've been blessed to have such a team at the time, and make a difference for me. And it helped me grow. It was the first step towards qualifying in Ireland. So it was great for me.
Yeah. And of course, I guess, especially in a public facing role, you don't know who you'll meet. So as long as your core team is good, you know, you may have members of the public who are less friendly or less helpful, but you know, that's, it kind of says more about them than it does about you. So it's learning to remember that you know, not everybody we meet is going to be equally helpful, but you know, as long as you're doing your best, then they may be having a bad day, and that's not your fault, and it's also not your problem. So you did mention about the telephone. So what happened with the telephone? Why was it difficult at the beginning, and how did you start to feel more confident about using the telephone?
Wow, I was thinking, I didn't even go closer for the phone, maybe for the first 2 years in Ireland while I was working in pharmacy. I wouldn't understand. I literally would not understand, because the names are spelled so different. They're different, completely new names. They were completely new names for me. And the spelling was in, like, they were Irish names. So I wasn't familiar with the names, with the surnames, and I wasn't familiar with the addresses. So being on the phone, I was so afraid that I would not take the right name and wouldn't prepare the medication. We're talking with people who, you know, were not patient and they weren't well, so they needed the right service. I was really afraid of it. Also, like, I think it's very difficult for everybody because I've worked with people from all over the world, and I work with lots of students during my years, and nobody would just jump on the phone to pick it up in the beginning. For me, maybe it was more particular because at the time I did not realize my hearing is very bad. Like I have hearing aids both sides, so my hearing is 30%. When I was on the phone, probably some sounds were lost. So that made it more stressful. But I didn't realize at the time. I didn't even know it's a problem. I was just thinking, you know, I don't understand, but I'm not 100% now. That was just the English, or was, you know, the hearing had a part in it. But in the end, the team noticed, and they said, look, you have to pick up the phone. Doesn't matter if you do a mistake or not. We will look after you. We will help you. You'll never be able to be on the phone if you don't take it. And yeah, it got tricky. I could take a few, you know, a few letters from the name, a few from the surname, because I was going straight to the computer. I already start to know better the systems and everything. So I'll find the person easier, find the trick way. But that was a difficult part for me. That was the most difficult part.
But that was, yeah, these challenges, if you don't try to do something to work on them, they never go away. Like something like that, if you hadn't done it, it would always have been a problem. So although the first steps were probably the hardest, to go and pick up that phone because you don't know who's going to be on the other end of it, that meant that you could start to deal with this problem and then to find a solution.
Yes, true. The phone was not my thing. And then later, when I was becoming manager, if somebody was asked to talk to the manager, it was definitely a complaint. So the phone was not the best experience.
It doesn't get better, does it?
No. It was not my thing.
I don't think that's it. We've all got things that we don't massively like. I think it's good to challenge ourselves sometimes to at least try them, but it doesn't mean it's like now, as your, do you prefer doing a lot more on video, because it's not just like the phone when you can see the person and see their facial expressions? And do you find that better in your job now?
No, I think it's both ways. It's easy because, you know, with all these AirPods and things, I can hear. And if it's at the phone, okay. It's easier because I use them both for videos on phone, or if I'm on the phone. I only wear my hearing aids if I'm in public or if I do a workshop or it's a big meeting. Like if somebody's close to me, I hear. So I don't need, not need them.
Yes, it sounds like it wasn't a language thing then. I mean, of course, if you can't hear something clearly, it's going to be harder to understand.
Yeah, maybe I'm just getting older now. No. In a way. I know. I got it, and I do truly believe that you never learn something and you never know if it works until you try it. So I had to try to do that thing, and I managed it in the end.
Yeah, and that's the success story that you did. You tried it, you had support from good people, and that's another lesson, I think, you know, to learn from your story. Sometimes we think we have to do everything on our own, and your story shows that we don't, you know, and it's better if you let people help you. It's kind of different when you're running your own business, because I don't need to use, I decided to learn Romanian. I don't need to use it in my business. I've started using it because I'm working with more clients. But at the beginning, I had so much help from different people who all wanted to see this project work, like who gave some time, who corrected things, who helped me out. And I think sometimes if you're learning or improving your language, sometimes you think you have to get there on your own, but really you don't. There are lots of people, maybe not everyone, but you will find people who will be willing to help, and you can learn and improve a lot faster if you allow other people to help you sometimes. And I think your story is a really good example of that, because you did work hard, you know, you studied, you did things that were challenging for you, but you also had a good team of people behind you working with you and helping you out if you needed it.
Yeah, many people are saying, and I believe in it, the secret to success is to surround yourself with the right people. So I've been blessed. I choose good people. Like, you know, when I can choose, I always go for the people who are positive, people who enjoy helping others, people who like to grow together. I think in business and life, it's about giving, because then comes back to you in a way.
Yeah. That's true. And how about the people that you like to help? So what kind of people do you like to work with, and what's the challenge that you the biggest challenge that you solve for them? How would you define your favorite type of client?
I like to work with big challenges in general. I like the strategy part because I think helping people, I think when I do social media strategy, I can use every knowledge that I have from mental health, psychology, supporting people, because I understand people. So now this helps me to understand businesses, because every business is about knowing the person, knowing the client, knowing the owner. I prefer to work with people who are open-minded, people who understand that they need to take action, people who are willing to do what has to be done, and people who trust me. I need to have a trusting relationship, because if you hire me, you need to trust me, and I will trust you, and I do my 500%. So now I start doing helping more people to launch their digital products. Like now I'm helping someone to launch a membership. It's actually a massive project, and I love it. And a digital course. So it's just my clients are, we have to resonate with each other. We need that click that, you know, it's a long-term journey. It's not only a month journey, it's a long-term journey, and we will grow together, and they will grow, and I'll support them growing. This is my favorite project, especially. It's challenging to start from, to say, zero following and start having a profit. And it's more challenging actually to work with people who have a huge amount of following, but they have no money out of it. Like they nobody converts, nobody goes to their website, nobody buys. That's really challenging too, because the client has to be educated in the way what's important, what's not important, and what means actually digital marketing. It doesn't mean random things and lots of people. It means the right people in your
Yeah, because if
place.
they're not engaged, they're not the numbers don't really add value because they're maybe not the right people.
Yes.
And yeah, that doesn't help if you haven't got the right people following you.
Yeah, but then many people, you know, we all learn from our mistakes, and we move on, and we change things, and we improve it. And this is in business too. If it's the case, our case is when we have to start from scratch everything, because it's healthier for them. There are things we can adjust. Depends on the platform, depends on the business. But I like to see results. I like to see the excitement. And the main thing is when I like the, I sometimes I can be pushy, said, look, this has to be done by the time. And I was working with somebody yesterday, said, and I was like, you know what, let's give us a deadline. Like this has to be done by then, because, and he was like, I love this at you. Like you are nice and pushy in the same way.
You get things done.
Well, the thing has to be done and has to be done. And I like to, there is no fluff about me, you know, I'm straightforward. I expect the same for the client. Things have to be done. We do it, and then we keep going. Like, try to be efficient and to use less time to do things, because it's not worth, you know, planning a lot and thinking too much and overthinking. We have to try before we see if it works or not, especially our days. I love what I'm doing. I think you can feel it. I really love what I'm
Yeah, and I think
doing.
that gives this positive energy that passes on to the clients. So I'm going to add your links to the there'll be a page on your on my website with this interview, and you can also link from it from wherever you get your podcast. But where's the best place to connect with you online?
I think LinkedIn, or my Facebook profile. I turn my profile into creator. So Facebook will be, and LinkedIn probably my most of my connections were coming from LinkedIn. And it's funny enough, when you open a social media agency, everybody will expect you to be very active there. But my priority was getting clients and my clients. So now slowly I start prioritizing myself, so people will be able to see me online more often than I used to be.
Yeah, and it's important because you always need this new flow of people coming towards you, people finding out about you. So I'll add your LinkedIn and any other links that you want me to share. And yeah, thank you very much for being on the podcast. It's really good talking to you and hearing your story, your tips, what you've learned. And I would encourage other people to go and check out the links and to find out more. I know you've got a blog as well, so we'll add the link to that. And if anyone wants to find this episode, you can go to the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode209. Thanks again for joining us, and to everyone else, have a good week and have fun learning English.
Thank you so much, Christy.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.